Welcome to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives, hosted by Reverend Otley Holmes, Senior Pastor of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church in Mesa, Arizona, where our vision is touching hearts and changing lives by the power of His Word, Luke 4, 18 and 19. Our mission is to go ye therefore and teach all nations, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Now, please join us in a study of the Word of God.
Welcome once again to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives. This is Pastor Holmes, your host. And as always, I praise God for allowing me once again to come into your presence for the study of God's holy and inspired word. I never take it lightly that I am allowed to teach you over the radio waves, that we come together by this means of electronics, that we might study together the word of God. You may not always agree with everything I say, but together we will reason and work out the deep things of our Master. So let us go before the throne of grace. Father God, once again, you have allowed us to come into your presence for the study of your holy inspired word. We just pray now, Father, that your Spirit would lead, guide, and direct us during this study. Father, open our eyes to those things we do not recognize, and Lord, just show up those things we do and make certain of our walk with you, Father, that we might obey your commandments. We ask this all in Jesus' name, for his name's sake. Amen. And, you know, I'm a firm believer that every time you and I open the Word of God, we come into the presence of God. And many times we need to just take the time to sit quietly and allow the Word of God to truly speak to our hearts. I know we who are preachers, we many times get hung up in the dissecting of the verse to find out its true meaning and things like that. And that's necessary. But sometimes we also need to just quiet ourselves and allow the Spirit of God to speak to us through the Word of God. Amen. Well, we're in the fifth chapter of the book of Acts, and we left off actually about verse 33. But I just want to go back over and begin reading again at verse 32 and then kind of pick it up. It says, "And we are his witness of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them." Now, we know that we are given the Spirit of God to be able to be his witness, to walk in the fullness of life, to be able to perform his commandments, to give us strength through the trials and tribulations of life. But many times when we are doing the things that God commands us to do, there will always be those who want to fight against us. And in this case, the disciples, or the apostles, I should say, were arrested because of what God was doing through them, because the leading ranks of the city, the religious ranks of the city, did not like what was taking place because their thunder was being stolen in their eyesight. They believed with all their hearts that the apostles now were teaching an insurrection against the government, and that there were this little band of people now that was starting to spread all throughout Jerusalem was going to cause big issues for them. So now, as Peter and the apostles are witnessing back to what God would have them to do, the Bible says here that they were cut to the heart. That is, their hearts were sawn into two parts, through and through. The idea is that they were cut to the heart without conviction. But anger, wrath, rage were the reactions of being cut to the heart. Now, sometimes when we preach the word of God, people are cut to the heart, but they're cut to the heart and driven to repentance, and they were able to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But in this case here, the hearts were so hardened that they were now raised in indignation and wanted to do bodily harm, because it says in verse 33, they took counsel to slay them. Now, verse 34 says, "Then stood up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space." In other words, remove them just for a while. And then he says in verse 35, he says, "And said unto them, Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do with the touching of these men. For before these days arose Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. Verse 39, but if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. My goodness. We find that this man, Gamaliel, who was a leading Pharisee, gave this wise advice to those who were about to plot the death of these apostles. He tells them, and I love this part, he tells them, he says, hey, if this work be of God, then there is no way that it can be stopped. But if it be of man, remember the other two situations. Remember Thutis, who was overthrown and his men were killed and what was left was dispersed. Remember Judas of Galilee also, his men were killed and dispersed. So when it's of man, it won't stand. Now, this is, gives us such important life lessons, because when we follow the will of God, when we're doing what God tells us to do, then God's plan cannot be overthrown by any man. But when we try to do things in our own effort, if we try to build our church in our own effort, if we try to run our ministries in our own effort, it would last for a period of time, but sooner or later, it will be destroyed. We do not have the wherewithal within ourselves to carry the mandate that God would have us to carry in our own strength. He never meant us to do it, so therefore we should never do it. And I'm sorry, but sometimes we get a little hung up with our egos and we try to expand things because of what we like and what we want. But we always must be cautious and careful to go back to God and say, Lord, is this what you would have me to do? Is this ministry running the way you would have it to run? Is this church doing what you would have them to do? Because if we do not do the things of God by the power of God, it will not stand. But on the other hand, also doing it according to God's plan does not mean that we will not go unhindered. There will always be the forces of darkness to come up against us to hinder the work and the plans that God has given us. But yet, because it's God's plan, nothing can stop it. Nothing can stop it. And I thank God for that wondrous work, that nothing can stop what God has started. Amen. Let me finish reading these verses. It says, and to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Now they had just been beaten. They had been thrown in jail, but yet and still they were continuing to preach Jesus Christ in the temple, in every house, and everywhere they went. My goodness, what a blessing to understand the fullness of the power of God when we command to do the commandments, I should say, of God. Well, that brings chapter 5 to a close, and we have a few minutes left. Let's begin to read the opening verses in chapter 6. It says, in those days, the number of the disciples were murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Now, chapter 6, we know, is the chapter that we have the foundation, the beginning of the deacon ministry. But there's also one thing that I want to point out before we really get into the study of what was transpiring here. We must also realize that when we pray and ask God to increase our churches, to build our churches, that we should also be praying for laborers for our churches. Because when God increases the fold, there will be issues that we have not thought about that will begin to be discovered, such as if you don't have enough Sunday school teachers, if you don't have enough classroom space, if you don't have this, if you don't have that. Many times we just get excited about the people bringing being brought into the fold, but we also must be prepared to receive them, because it would be an atrocity to receive these people into our folds and then not be able to fully minister to them the way God would have us to minister to them. Amen? Amen. So we find here in the sixth chapter, this is what was happening. This is a young church now that's beginning to really take off, and people are being added to the church. And it says, in those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily ministration. I need to just also add to it, was in early church days, the welfare system wasn't a governmental system. It was a church system. The church has allowed over the years for the welfare of widows to be taken by the government when God set it up for the church to do it. Now, this passage is about the birth of deacons, a whole new level of ministry in the church. And it says the problem arose because of some of the widows were being neglected. And there was a democratic recommendation, and there were some required qualifications. And the basic purpose was to relieve the ministers of the duty of waiting on tables. So we will begin to look at this, and I'm watching the clock on the wall so I don't get too deep into it before we have to wind this program down. But like I said, the church had grown rapidly. When any organization grows rapidly, all kinds of problems will arise. And we need to learn how to handle growth. It says, there were the Hebrews, the Jews who were born and reared in Palestine. They spoke Aramaic, the language they had come down through the ancient Hebrew language. But there were also the Grecian Jews who were known as the Hellenists. And these were Jews who had been scattered, deported, and dispersed all over the world by the Romans. Well, my brothers and sisters in Christ, I am going to hold up there because I won't have time to really finish that thought. So we'll pick this up again next week. But again, I just want to invite you to visit us on our website, www.smbcmesa.org, and just peruse through the website and contact us and contact our prayer minister. We'd love to pray for you. I love you, and I thank God for your presence. And pray for me as I pray for you as we go down through the week and we spread the gospel of good news. Take care and God bless. See you again next week.
Touching Hearts and Changing Lives radio program is an outreach ministry of Shiloh Missionary Church and is hosted by Reverend Otley W. Holmes, Jr., Senior Pastor. Please join us every Saturday evening at 7 p.m. on KXXT 1010. We're located at 56 South Robson Mesa, Arizona, 85210. It's right on the corner of Robson and First Avenue in downtown Mesa. Service times are Wednesday evening prayer meeting, 5:30 to 7 p.m., and Bible study, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Sunday morning, Sunday school 9 a.m. Worship service is at 11 a.m. For more information, call 480-844-2687 or email sbchurch1011@quest.net. Be sure to log on to the website www.smbcmesa.org. This program has been sponsored by the membership of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church.